Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. So glad that you're here. What that hopefully means is that you are looking for ways to improve your selling effectiveness, become an authentic persuader in your sales role, in your leadership role, and in life, since everything in life is sales and all conversations and relationships have some aspect of persuasion in it. And what are you doing in there to facilitate that, help it, or be aware of it? That's where authentic persuasion comes in. Now, for today's conversation, for today's topic on this one, this episode 342, what I wanted to talk about was something a little bit different, which is we mostly focus on salespeople and helping you be more effective and sell more effective and all the tools and the things that to do as a foundation and then all the little things that come up. Today, I want to speak to the leadership aspect, to the people who listen to this that are sales leaders, sales managers, VPs, on up to owners and business founders, investors. And this is the trend I see a lot, and I'm not sure what to do about it, but I want to call it out and I want everyone to be aware of it, which is organizations who keep and tolerate toxic ass sales reps. And basically, here's what happens is you have somebody, usually they're a top performing sales rep. They're in the top tiers. They're generating revenue for the company. They're generating results, and they are seen as an asset when it comes to the bottom line. Yet, at the same time, when you look at the cultural fit around them, the ramifications of them on an interpersonal level, it is very toxic and negative for an organization. And so what happens is managers, leaders, owners, they want to protect that golden goose. They see that person as somebody who is providing value, is providing revenue, is providing money in a way that others aren't. And so the last thing they would want to do is upset that person or get rid of that person because of their toxicity, their negativity, and not being a cultural fit for the organization. And so what happens is they're tolerated. Sometimes they're enabled and given lots of room to do what they want and treat others like they do or run things however they want in their own little fiefdom as a toxic top performing sales reps. And what happens is that usually the bottom line may do okay, but it leaves this wake of destruction around them. Now, sometimes it's obvious where you see other people not want to be around that sales rep, not want to be engaged with them, not physically want to be around them, virtually not want to be with them, want to change teams, change groups, change divisions in a company. I've seen all of that where somebody just like literally cannot stand that toxic person and the negativity that's allowed and tolerated. And again, this isn't a judgment against how people act. It's about organizations and how you, as a leader of an organization listening to this, allows these things to happen and if it's a good fit. Now, if you have the kind of culture, corporate culture, where that type of sales rep, that over-the-top, me-first, self-centered, at the cost of everyone else on the team, maybe even clients, if that works for your organization, that's the kind of group that you have, then that's fine, right? It's a perfect fit. For most companies, at least on the surface, what is stated, what is put out there to the world as a core value and mission and vision for the company, it's not a fit. So you've got this one side where you've got these statements like mission, vision, and core values, where it's claiming we do this and we focus on this and we treat each other like this. And then out the other side of the mouth is essentially tolerating toxic sales reps because of their benefit to the bottom line. And what I want to do is challenge everybody listening to this that's in a leadership role is seriously look at if you have this situation going on in your company, if you know because you've seen it, or I'll tell you, like, sometimes what happens is you don't necessarily know it, right? You don't have proof. Maybe there's not complaints, but here's a good indication. If you come up with a new policy or a new idea, or you need to change something, or you want to put some new parameters in place, or you want to put a new structure in place, or you want to put a new CRM in place. I mean, I'm not even going to the extreme of a comp plan change, because that's stressful to everybody. But let's just say it's anything that you want to change, a new policy or procedure. If you are afraid of telling certain reps on your team more than others, and you're afraid of their reaction, and you can already project or guess what they're going to say, then you have a toxic sales rep on your team that's not in alignment with what you want to do with the company and your core values, your mission, and your vision. So there's just something not in alignment. Now, again, nobody likes change. And so when you put change in place, you know it's going to ruffle some feathers. But if you're literally worried about it, or you're already planning in your head to make an exception when that person throws a fit and stomps their feet like a toddler, then that means you have somebody who's not a good fit for your organization. And I promise you, because I've seen it so many times, I promise and I promise and I promise that that rep is making things around them and the people around them unhappy. And what it's also doing is when you have that kind of person on your team and you tolerate it, right? So you're tolerating this person because of their benefit to the bottom line. You're signaling to everyone else that your mission, your vision, and your core values actually don't mean anything, that they're just fluff. They're just words on the wall or words in a document that your team can reference, and they literally don't mean anything in practice. They're just there as a symbol, but they don't mean anything. And so that's what's happening, is you're telling your whole team, you're telling everyone in the division and the organization, not just at the team level, not just in sales, but you're telling everybody that, hey, what we say we mean, we don't really mean it, because actions speak more than words. And so here we go. This is what we really mean, and this is what we really value. All we really value is the bottom line and people that can make it happen, and everyone else is secondary, and everything else is secondary. And so I've seen that so many times, and it's so destructive long term. Short term, it might work, but it's going to lead to turnover. It's going to lead to issues. It's going to lead to more than just the Pareto principle, which is the 80-20 rule, right? Because the 80-20 rule says that you're going to get 80% of your results out of 20% of your effort. Or in sales teams, and I see this a lot, you're going to get 80% of your results out of 20% of your sales reps, maybe up to 50% of your sales reps. But what happens is when you have and you tolerate toxic salespeople from a cultural fit, from an attitude, from a behavior, from a coexisting standpoint, what happens is you are going to shrink that down, where you're going to have to get pretty much all of your results out of very few people. And then the problem with that is you're putting all your eggs in those few baskets, and you're not leaving much of a chance for anyone else to do well, because they're not going to want to, and you're not diversified. So if that toxic person does leave, you're in serious trouble, which is interesting, because that's the fear that's driving you to tolerate their behavior. And so at the root of all this is the worry that, hey, if I don't have this top rep, then who else is going to carry this weight? Who else is going to close the deals? And I don't want to lose them. I can't lose them, because I can't afford to lose them. And I'm going to say you can't afford to keep them. So if you're a leader listening to this, sales manager up to owner or founder, investor, VP of sales, CRO, any of those positions where you've got someone on your team, let's say specifically in sales that's toxic, but it can be in anywhere. If you've got that, the key is, and this is what I want you to do, is take some time to look at it and figure out, is that happening? Are you afraid of those reps? Are you literally letting them run the show because you're afraid of managing them? Why are you afraid of managing them? Are you afraid of managing anybody, and you're afraid of upsetting anybody because you want to let sales do what they do, and you're afraid of actually coaching, leading, or managing the people because you're worried about what's going to happen, or the confrontation, or the drama, and you just don't want to mess with anything because it's working well enough? If so, why is that happening? And then what I want you to do is I want you to think about, what would it be like if you didn't have the toxic people on your team? Now, of course, there's always some negativity. There's always some issues, and there's going to be interpersonal stuff that always happens. So this is outside of that. I'm talking systemically toxic people on your team who are self-centered, closing deals that are probably not good deals that you want anyway, or they cause issues, or there's challenges, and then there's just challenges around those people or that person. Then what would it be like if you didn't have them, and you had everybody on the team who is in alignment with you, what you actually want, right? Not just say you want, with mission, vision, and values, but what you actually want. And if everyone was rowing the same direction and rowing together to win, what would that look like? The challenge, of course, is that to get there, you're going to have to rip off some band-aids. You're going to have to undo these top toxic reps, if that's what you have. You're going to have to take a step back. Going to have to show everyone that you mean it. Prove to everyone that you mean what you say when you talk about the culture of the company and the direction and what's acceptable and what's not. And then at that point, everyone can rebound. Everyone can regrow. And then you can move the ship forward and bring on people in the proper way and then manage to that and not let things spin out of control. Not let people get to the point where they become toxic and enabled and spoiled and self-centered. All right. So that's the key. And if you want a scalable system, if you want a scalable sales team that you can grow to whatever level you're going for, whether it's five people or it's 500 sales reps, if you want that to happen, you have to be mindful and watch out for and then manage, control, or remove those toxic negative sales reps from your team. So hopefully that helps give you some things to think about, some things to work on. If you want help with this, if you want help identifying it, or if you're truly worried that if you rip off this band-aid, you will have nothing left. You'll be hemorrhaging from a gunshot wound that you can't resolve fast enough and you won't have a company. If that's the case, or you just want some information, some help, and some steps on how to do it, and you're looking for that guidance, get in touch with me, reach out to me. You can email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can go to Vox with Jason, and then we can have a dialogue and maybe set up a phone call. Let me help you. Let me guide you through this, because I've seen this many times. And sometimes it's a gradual approach. Sometimes you can't afford, and it's not safe, and it's not smart to just rip off that band-aid tomorrow because you just feel like it and you're tired of it. We got to get ready, got to get things prepared, got to build up the structure. And then usually what it is, it's the framework for what's acceptable and not, and allow somebody to select whether they want to play by your new rules or not. But if you want help setting those rules, get in touch with me. Let's chat about it. Let me help you based on all my experience with various teams. Let me get you and your team to winning together as a positive, happy force that's successful, that's selling with authentic persuasion and closing lots of deals. So let's do that. Until next time, thanks for joining me on this conversation about authentic persuasion. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.